I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
By the way, we will be talking about Doc Rivers later in the show today, but nothing to do with his performance as a Sixers coach, more his performance in a movie. Both Jody Mack and I took the time this week to watch Hustle, the new Adam Sandler film on Netflix. We will be reviewing it in the 11 o'clock hour for our What We're Watching segment. And Jody, I got to tell you, I like that last week we watched the same show, Lincoln Lawyer, and reviewed it, and now we watched the same movie. We could get a little Siskel Ebert action going here, Jody.
I am perfectly fine with that, but I got one issue. And again, we don't want to jump ahead, but...
No, I don't want to review it yet.
I'm not going to talk about that, but as far as you and I watching the same thing at a future date to review, we may have one problem.
What's that?
I watched the first segment of Severance.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Yeah. I know.
Oh, my God. I felt like turning it off 5 minutes in, 15 minutes in.
I know.
I made it through the first episode, but
yeah.
I'm really not motivated to go back for a second.
Watch three. Commit to three episodes, and if you can't take it after three episodes, bail.
Okay.
It really, my wife felt the same way. And then she stuck with it, and she ended up really liking it. So
okay. The first episode was a tough watch.
I know. I get it. But try to hang with it.
Okay.
By the way, our pal Ray Dinger has a book signing today at the Barnes & Noble in Broomall, Lawrence Park Shopping Center, from 1 to 3. So I don't get to see Ray these days, but you can if you go see him at the Barnes & Noble in Broomall. All right, I want to bring the Eagles in here. I see some people. You know what? Let me take one more Phil's phone call, then I'll throw the Eagles in, and then we will talk about that. Mike and Yardley, you want to talk about Joe Girardi. What's
up? Oh, yeah. Thanks a lot for letting me get on, Glenn.
Sure.
And Jody, I used to listen to Mac and Mac all the time, but I don't think I've ever got a chance to talk to you. But I will say, one of my favorite things on sports talk radio is to listen to you two guys talk baseball. It is, it's really refreshing. And 2 weeks ago, Glenn, I thought you jumped off the bandwagon.
You know? Did. The Phillies?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, they were 9 games below 500.
Yeah,
sure,
you had
I did.
Justification, but, you know, some of us didn't jump off. And, you know,
last
2 weeks has just been spectacular. Now, I generally listen to them on the radio, but I got really lucky in the last week. I listened to about the eighth inning, and then I turn on to watch the last two innings of the game, and that has turned out to be a charm. Man, I've seen some great eighth and ninth innings last week. It's been wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think that the old saw about a team taking on the personality of its manager is what was killing this team. They were taking on Girardi's personality, and mm-hmm. it was so flat and uninspiring, they just couldn't get going. And once he was out of the picture, you saw what happened. And, you know, and I don't think it's managerial decisions by Thompson. They're just playing the way we, you and me, Glenn, thought that they might at the beginning of the season, and they had been really disappointing, but, man... And, you know, the other thing is
they had been flat, they had been dead, they had been unenergetic, yep. They had been uninspired, they needed a spark, and that's what a new manager can do.
And the
Hope
young
less.
Players, mm-hmm. the young players are really showing us something, and nobody thought that their farm system was going to give them anything, and, you know, they're producing. That's a really good sign, if you ask
Jody, me. What do you think of Bryson Stott as a prospect, as a major league player? Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
Yeah,
he was a top flight prospect who won a job in spring training. Remember, we're not that far removed. I'm sure you guys talked about it on the weekend, you and Ray. The whole conversation, Bryson Stott is going to be the Philly starting third baseman. That he had outperformed Bohm in spring training, and Bohm was struggling mightily, and mm-hmm. this kid earned a job on the team, and you got Segura at short and Segura at second. Where is Stott going to play? Oh, he's going to play third base, and he started a couple of games down in spring training at third base. Well, the season gets underway. Stott's hitting a 145. Bohm's actually hitting, and the entire thing changes, and oh, not shockingly, Didi gets hurt again, which he does a lot, so Stott ends up staying in the lineup, but now at shortstop, his natural position. I thought he was here to stay, and when he hit .145, not through 10 at-bats, not through 20 at-bats, through almost 50 at-bats, you go, uh-oh, they rushed him. He's just not ready. Doesn't mean that he's not the prospect that they thought he was, but they overestimated what he did in spring training. He needs to go back down. Well, he goes back down, there for a couple of days. By necessity, he's called back up to the big leagues, and yeah, he seems to be a guy who has changed and picked it up more than anybody else. And it was an unknown because we didn't know what Bryson Stott. We know. We think we know what Kyle Schwarber should be. We think we know what sure. Nick Castellanos should be. We didn't know what Bryson Stott could be or would be, and he's picked it up greatly since the managerial change.
It would be so nice if they have a guy they develop as an everyday player who's, you know, I'm not saying a superstar, but a guy who can play a 10-year career, make a couple All-Star games, right? They have not. That's what Bohm was supposed to be.
Yep.
And it's a stretch to say he's going to be that now. I'm racking my brain to think of the last position player they developed who was a good, you know, a very good to excellent everyday player. I mean, are we going back to the Rollins and the Utleys
yeah,
and those guys?
I think we are. There hasn't been one in between.
That's a dry spell.
Oh, yeah. That's what we're talking about, going back to the world championship team.
Wow. Okay. I said we're going to throw the Phillies in, so let us do that. And I want to do it this way: if you blinked this week, you missed the Eagles OTAs. Eagles is what I meant. If you missed this week, you missed the Eagles OTAs. They've cut back a lot under the collective bargaining agreement, and Nick has cut back even more than that. The league allows 10; the Eagles did 6. The players may like it. I think the front office thinks that because they stayed healthier last year, this is a real key. And they did. They stayed healthy last year, and that's great. I don't know how much it's because of this, how much because of luck, how much because they changed the medical staff. But, Jody, I'm not crazy about it. I heard our pal John Ritchie rant and rave about this yesterday, and I kind of agree with him that I realize this isn't the season, it isn't even the preseason. This is June. But I do buy into you need to play. You need to prep. You need to get ready. You need to get tough. They did start 2-5 last year. You can say it's because of a new coach and they had a lot to learn. But it took them a long time. What was that Lions game, I guess, that they finally got on the roll?
Yep.
I am not crazy about the fact that everybody just kind of came in, shook hands, and checked out and went home.
Yeah, they, I think you said 10. It's 13 sessions.
13
you can have
max?
Upwards of 13 maximum sessions.
They didn't do, that. They didn't do half that.
6, which is less than half, correct. And, oh, by the way, for this past week, they increased the amount of time that you could spend each day on the field, and it got upwards in the second half of the weeks to 2 hours. You could put 2 hours in. The Eagles never got to an hour. So they had less sessions and less time within those sessions. Less is more is the Eagles' mantra this off season, and I think it came from last year. And I was woefully wrong last year, or at least I believe I was, if you believe this is all sports science and medically dominated, that's why they're doing this, and they saw the number of games injured that they have. And they did it last year. They were one of the lesser working teams. This year, for me, they're last. They're the 32nd working team out of 32 teams in the league. They did more, less during any of the time that they had together as a team than anybody in the National Football League. Only Cincinnati is close. Now, Cincinnati made the Super Bowl, so maybe they've earned that. The Eagles made the playoffs but didn't quite get close to the Super Bowl. I thought last year was because they wanted to get, I'll use a wrestling term for you that you might not understand, MacMan. They wanted to get Nick Sirianni over. They wanted him popular in that locker room. He was replacing a Super Bowl winning coach. Nobody knew who he was. He had the kind of bumbling, stumbling introductory press conference. I thought that's why they went as light last offseason as they did. And I thought it actually worked because it seemed like everybody liked Sirianni. All the players liked him. All the players were quoting him. So I said, all right, this may be a strategy that actually plays out well. I now believe, looking back, that it was the same exact motivation last year. Less is more. No injuries. We'll get the time in by the classroom, by film study, rather than actually doing it on the film. I don't know if it's going to work or not. Mm. They've got some new guys on this team, Glenn. It isn't like they're bringing the running it back with the exact same unit. They made some changes. A.J. Brown, Reddick, Bradbury, Kazir White, Jordan Davis. I think that... see, I've been a guy who's jumping on the N'Kobe Dean bandwagon. I loved him. I thought he should have been a first-round pick. Mm-hmm. And I think by midseason, he'll be on the field more than any other Eagle linebacker. I was hoping that was going to be day one. It's not going to be with this offseason work they're doing or not doing, because he's just not going to get enough field time to prove that he can be an every-down linebacker in this league from jump.
Yeah, I don't like it. And I understand... I heard Dick Vermeil on earlier today with Howard. I love Dick Vermeil. He's going in the Hall of Fame. We are never going to get back to the three-a-days in the hot sun under Dick Vermeil. Don't want to. Don't want to see another Corey Stringer. I get it. But last year's prep wasn't good. They got lucky because after the bad start, schedule worked to their advantage. They kind of got it together. But to me, this is one step away from kind of saying, okay, well, we'll use the beginning part of the season to get our act together, and by the end of the season, we'll be good. And I don't think that's a successful strategy. This season roster, it looks good. I think they have the opportunity to win the division. I'm not going to pick them to get to the Super Bowl, but I think they can be better. But if they're not fully prepared, they're not going to be ready. And if your focus right now is omitting practice... That's our big thing. We're not going to get on the field. We're not going to practice. You're taking out some of the toughness. Again, John Ritchie said it more genuinely than I can, because he played it. He lived it. But the bottom line is, you want the Eagles to be one of the tougher teams in the league. This is not the way to do it. I want the players all in. I want Fletcher Cox all in, as opposed to just showing up the last day of voluntary practice. That doesn't work for me.
And what even adds to it is, at least judging by last year, and I assume it will be exactly the same, they protected the veterans in the preseason games too. Jalen Hurts didn't play.
Right.
So he's not even a veteran. He was still a wet behind the ears kid going into last season. So if you're going to do that, and there's more reason to do that because you're playing against an opponent that's actually trying to make plays and is going to be physical and hit you and potentially cause injuries. If you're going to do that, then you would think you'd want to get more work in when you're just going against yourselves in practice, where you can control how much hitting actually goes on. No, the Eagles are doubling down on less is more.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Let's get John and Manny Young. You're on with Jody and Glenn. Hey, John. How are you?
Good. I was just calling. I'm glad you're going to talk about Hustle. I am not really an Adam Sandler fan at all, but I thought the movie was excellent, especially all the scenes over here in Manny Young. I'm sure we'll talk about it next hour.
We are going to talk about it, and it is, I would argue, since Rocky, the movie that shows the most of Philadelphia. And yeah, if you live over in Manayunk, man, you saw your whole neighborhood, didn't you?
Pretty much. Yeah. Walked those steps all the time. But on the Eagles, real quick, you're talking about the roster, and I'm kind of excited. I think they have they're pretty well stocked up in every position. But the one I don't get your guys' response, I'm concerned with is safety. Harris and Epps, you think that's the way to go for the year, or they have something up their sleeves?
McMahon, I kind of believe that this is it.
Yeah.
I checked and I go back and double check, like anything's changed the last 2 weeks, so there's still veteran free agent safeties that are out there. There's no James Bradbury. They did a great job in adding an above-average cornerback when they needed to when he became available, and I guess there is the possibility that someone else shakes loose, but we went past the June 1st deadline, which is supposed to be the second wave of free agency, and nobody shook loose. They've changed the rules a little bit, so June 1st doesn't mean what it used to mean. I think they're going with what they have. If they make a change, Glenn, it's not going to come down until the last week of preseason.
Right.
There may be somebody cut that they bring in and then try and get up to speed. I don't know how they're going to get them up to speed because they don't really practice much. But you get my drift. That's the first time they're going to be able to add to the safety position.
Yeah, and trying to squeeze one more good year out of Anthony Harris is one of the bigger questions they got there.
Yeah.
I agree.
Can I go on to the Phillies real quick, all right?
Sure.
I mean, Glenn, sorry. Yeah. I said very again. The right fielder, he only has 3 home runs. Do you think there's something up with him, or does he get hot later in the year, Solstano?
Jode?
I think he's not Schwarber. And if you thought he was going to be Schwarber, I mentioned earlier I counted Schwarber in for potential 40 home runs this year. I put Castellanos down for 25 to 30, and you're right, he's not on pace to do that, but I still think he's going to hit 20. He's a better contact hitter than Schwarber is. I think he's got a hot streak left in him. I'm okay with where Castellanos is at right now.
By the way, how many home runs did you say he's got now?
3.
No, he's got 7.
Yeah.
He's got 7?
He's got 7, which is not great, but it's not hideous. Yeah. That puts him on pace for the 20, Jody said.
Yeah.
Where he's not, what he's not doing, which he has done in the past, is, well, actually, he is hitting doubles. He's got 13 doubles, which isn't horrible. Yeah, so if you look at where he is now, I mean, the batting average is .250, which isn't glossy, but it's not awful. He's on pace for almost 40 doubles and 20 home runs. It's not hideous. I think he will get hot. I do believe in the old axiom that guys tend to, you know, you look at the back of the baseball card, and that's what they'll do at the end of the year, and that's what I imagine he'll do at the end of the year. 215-592-9494. Jody McDonald, Glenn Mack now. All right, so let me give you the guest list and tell you what's going on. Coming up at 11, little switch because of availability. At 11, we're going to do what we're watching. We will give you a review of Hustle. At 11:25, we'll talk to John Heyman, national baseball writer. And at noon, Anthony Sanfilippo, who's got a great project going on the 50 greatest calls in Philadelphia Phillies history, which has really been fun. He's Jody McDonald. I am Glenn Mack now on 94 WIP.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.